Tricky Kid Media Original, distributed by iHeartRadio. Are we ready to party? Need something fun to listen to on a weekend night? Or a long drive? And or just want to get down at any time? You've come to the right place. I'm Tabby Cat, and you are in the mix. You've watched his Twitch streams, learned from his YouTube DJ tutorials, laughed till you cried during one of his many podcasts. Now it's time to Just Dance with DJ Tricky Kid.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of In the Mix. I am your host, as always, DJ Tricky Kid. And hey, I hope everybody's having a great summer. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple of days that I spent with the Pixies in Texas, first in Dallas and then in Austin. And also, we're going to be playing some songs off their new album, Doggerel, and much, much more. I'm glad you guys are here. Again, hope everybody's having a great summer. And I'm happy to announce that my better half, Jocelyn Turner, has returned to the program after a long absence. That's what having children sometimes can affect your podcasting groupings. Jocelyn, how the hell are you?
I'm good, actually. The youngest is now 3, so we're feeling a little bit like we can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I don't know. Let's see. One day we'll be on the other side of it. Right now, we're really enjoying it. But that's an episode. Maybe we should start a parenting podcast. We would have a lot to talk about there. But today it's all about the Pixies. And again, I hope you guys have checked out their new album, Doggerel. It's fantastic. And this current tour that actually ended in Austin this leg and will pick up back again in August next month at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park in New Jersey. But we had a pretty crazy day that we wanted to share with you guys as well. Speaking of parenting. The very first concert that you and I went to after our first was born, Miles, who will be 5 next month, if you can believe it. Our very first concert was?
Morris Day and the Time. Morris Day and the Time.
Right. And where was that at?
At Fair Park in Dallas. It was a good time. wasn't that the day after we did the audition for MasterChef? Wasn't that the same night?
I feel like it was part of the same day.
Yeah.
See,
it was a big day.
Yeah. We tend to have these stacked. If we're gonna go to Dallas, we live in Frisco, which is about 40 minutes north. If we're gonna go to Dallas, then make it worth our time, right? I always stack it. But you're right. I believe we had a big day where we went to your MasterChef audition, and then we went to the fair. And because you have the big state fair and all that. And what was pretty cool is that was only, I usually have seen a lot of the bands that I like a whole lot. But that was only the second time I'd ever had seen Morris. And something pretty special happened.
Oh, at the concert?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you got pulled up to dance. And not only that, there was a fist bump involved, if I remember.
There was a monumental fist bump, a historical fist bump, if they're qualified for such things. So I have this shirt that some of you guys have seen me wear on social media and stuff, whatever, where it's one of those shirts. Like, if it was the Beatles, it would just say, instead of saying the Beatles, it would just say John, Paul, Ringo, and George. Well, so with the Time, mine, of course, is, Morris, Jerome, and, the whole gang. And so the guy that normally plays the Jerome character, the foil that holds up the mirror, he had, I don't know who plays that role now, because it's not Jerome Benton, unfortunately. But the guy did a pretty great job.
Oh, yeah.
And keep in mind, this not only was this at State Fair of Texas, this was also during PV Grambling Weekend.
Oh, yeah. And that was a sight as well.
All right.
Lots of cars and crowds and honking. Well, and
sure. But I think it's also the main thing to mention here is that about that, of course, is that, you know, I'm obviously very white. You're very Asian. And this is the, you know, a major date on the African American calendar.
Yeah.
So, and so we were, so, you know, of course, the football game and everything else. And so, so they also always want to bring, you know, some entertainment that is, you know, for that community of all ages. I remember one year I actually shot Fantasia there.
Nice.
For that. So, so, so I thought that was pretty cool is that, you know, we were getting down and he could have picked anybody. So I just thought, you know, during Grambling PB weekend, I was dancing so well that he picked the white boy.
Yeah.
To come up, on stage to do the bird at the end.
Yeah.
And we,
and you did well. You did very well.
So I was going to ask you, how did it look from the audience?
You pretty much were outshining everyone else on that stage.
Now,
honestly. Because you have great stage presence, obviously. You're tall, and you shine like a light beacon. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, because I'm so pasty white.
No, your moves are looking good, though. I was filming you.
And it was... Yeah. I felt like I was getting some love from the audience.
How did you feel that?
I felt like, well, I think that's why he fist bumped me, because I think I was even outshining more. If it's possible to outshine Morris, I never thought I would be on stage with Morris.
And it was definitely possible at that point.
And you would think like, okay, because I think that's why he turned around, because he was like, what the fuck are y'all looking at? Like, yeah. I, what are y'all so excited about?
I think so.
Because he turned around and he was like, and he can't hate on me. He's like, "What y'all?" He's like, "Okay, well, he's a white boy, but damn, he's getting down." And look at that shirt.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So obviously, that was an incredible moment. One of my favorite moments of that night was when we rode the Ferris wheel, and I have the picture of us. You look so incredibly gorgeous. You were wearing that very tight sweater I like of yours. It has the different colors.
Yes.
The stripy ones. You look so good in that.
Thank you.
It very contours your very hot body.
Thank you.
But yeah, that was obviously an incredible evening for me personally, obviously for us. And if you remember, some people came up to us after, remember?
After the show?
Right.
Yeah. I don't remember.
You know, your boy. Like,
but they were just complimenting you, as I recall, that you were dancing so well.
Yeah, but they were both two females.
Oh.
Remember?
And I was supposed to be jealous, I guess.
Well, I just proud is what I'd prefer.
I'm always proud.
Good. Okay. So we tell you all that. Like, what does that all have to do with the Pixies? Well, it's because, like I said, if we're going to go out to Dallas, especially in the summertime in the heat, you're going to have to give us a reason. And Morris was reason enough. I'm sorry, the Pixies were reason enough, of course. But we thought, or at least I thought, that it would be kind of cool to try to pull off this little twofer here. And that would being that the Pixies were going on around 9:30. And thankfully, to our good friend Scott Beggs, who had invited us and gave us the inside scoop of what time they were going on, I was able to orchestrate this whole thing where they were playing at the Southside Ballroom, which thankfully is an indoor place that's literally driving time is less than 10 minutes away from where Morris was playing. And Morris was playing not at the state fair this year, but right next door to where they have the state fair, a place that we affectionately call Starplex, because it's currently called the Dos Equis Pavilion, but the sponsors have changed a lot over the last 30 years. The original sponsor was called the Coca-Cola Starplex.
So and, there's no Starplex anywhere in that name.
Not anymore.
Ever? Not anymore. But you have to call it something because the name changes like every 3 months.
At least once a year. So I'm not going to be like start going through all. So that's why we're sticking with Starplex.
Yes.
When I say Starplex to people, especially that are my age, they know what I'm talking
right.
about because they grew up with it too. Because it was the Starplex for a very long time.
Yes, a very long time.
Right. So that's why it also that's the one. Not only was it the first, but it also was the longest. Okay.
And there's one like that in every city.
Yeah. But since then, not that it's necessary, but just very briefly, let's see here. The ones I remember was it became the Smirnoff Amphitheater. Then it was the SuperPages.com.
Yeah.
Then it was the Jexa Energy Pavilion.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think it's been Dos Equis a couple of times. And then briefly, and here's why also I'll show you, is that briefly, about 2 years ago, I guess during the pandemic, it didn't have a sponsor. Ooh. So guess what name they defaulted to?
The Starplex.
Just without the Coca-Cola. Yeah, because Coca-Cola. So they think of themselves as Starplex. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, okay. But it is 100,000 degrees, and they were having this thing called the Flashback Funk Fest. And I would have loved to have gotten there at 5 o'clock and seen all, like, six. It was like the Ohio Players, Rose Royce, along. It's odd that Morris Day was all over the posters, but he wasn't going on last in terms of the headliner. After him was the Zap, who I would love to have seen, as well as Atlantic Star, who were the final band. I rationalize this to you as well, but I was looking, is that there was basically no original members in hardly any of those bands. Mm-hmm. So they were really only those bands and name only, or maybe one other person. And, you know, you can almost basically say the same thing almost about Morris Day. So that's why I call it Morris Day. I'm not calling it Morris Day in the Time, because Morris Day in the Time, of course, is Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Monty and Jerome and all those guys. And the band that he has playing is fantastic, and they're doing all the Time stuff. And, you know, as long as you got Morris, we're, you know, you're good. That's who you're there to see, of course. But anyway, so again, Flashback Funk Fest. So the plan was to get there, see Morris, and I timed it so perfectly where we were just going to be there for just like, he's playing for like 45 minutes, so it's a little under an hour. And then shout out to our friend Ryan Peterson. It was like the whole town. It's like it takes a village, right? You could say that I'm all hooked up and I'm connected, that I was able to do this thing where we saw Morris Day in the Time, or see, I almost did it. Morris Day in one venue, and then we got over just in time to see the Pixies in another venue, and we were all on the list and all hooked up, and all that was great. But it does take a village. So shout out number one to our friend Ryan Peterson.
Ryan.
Who hooked us up with some VIP parking where we were able to just pull in right in right behind the stage. And there was, as it tends to be sometimes, a bit of a mix up. We went to one roll call, then we were supposed to go to this VIP thing, and we didn't. And we went to this other roll call, and our good friend Carrie, who works for Live Nation, was in the box office. She took care of business, and we want to say thank you, and we love you, Carrie.
Yes, thank you, Carrie. It was a pleasure to see you again, too.
Absolutely, because I know you guys had met before at some point. And what's pretty cool, just a few nights later, I ran into Carrie because I thought, I was like, you know, we need to hang out without talking to each other behind a glass, like, you know, like a prisoner inmate visitor thing. And I ran into her a few just 3 nights later at Faster Pussycat.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty cool. So thank you, Carrie. We love you. And that was so kind of you.
Thank you. And
I don't know what seats were waiting for us at the VIP, but they couldn't have been any better than what Carrie gave us, because we were right up front.
It was delicious. It was cool.
And it was cool because it's an amphitheater, so, you know, it's covered and also not covered. And I just kind of feel like that with Morris, for me, you can't just sit in the back. He's not a lay on the lawn 100 yards away. I gotta see Morris. I gotta feel the as he would say,
the flavor.
He condensates. And I need to be near that. And, you know, here's one thing I think that's pretty cool also. You know, we live in such a divided country right now, in a divided time. And I'm not gonna get heavy here, but one thing I love so much when I go to, especially in an old school R&B show like that, is that, like, especially the older African American community, they're so welcoming. Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, "Oh, what's Whitey doing here?" They loved it that we were there, and loved the shirt, and loved that, you know, we knew all the songs and the music.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, "You guys are, you know, treading on our property." They were overjoyed.
Yeah,
I felt very welcomed.
You know,
we were.
You almost feel like adopted, which is a nice, lovey feeling.
That's a good way of saying it. Yeah, I felt adopted.
Right.
Because it was their community and they grew up on it. But I grew up on it too. So there's common ground there, mm-hmm. and it was such a great moment of unity. And again, I would have loved to have stayed all night long, despite the fact, we were dealing with some pretty extreme heat, and we did have to get over to the Pixies, which was indoors. And like I said, if it had been all original members of the other bands, I might have reconsidered since we were having such a good time. But it was great to see Morris. I loved the Prince tribute, of course, that he did in the middle of the show. What did you think of that?
It was really nice to see actually and be in the audience for that reaction. It was a beautiful moment. It was nice. Purple Rain.
Yeah, and then they even did like a little bit of DMSR, which of course is dance, music, sex, romance. Okay, so that was that, and then once again, thanks to Ryan Peterson. I say thank you to Scott Beggs, Ryan Peterson, and Carrie Abernathy made that evening happen for us, and then we were able just to quickly escape through the VIP lounge right into our car. Mm-hmm. And zip over. We were over at Southside Ballroom in under 10 minutes for our second concert of the evening. And we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back, and we're going to get into all things with our double dose of two nights of Pixies in Texas. We'll be right back.
Tricky Kid Radio is distributed by iHeartRadio and is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the Google Play Store. Subscribe for free on the iHeartRadio app or on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to Tricky Kid TV on YouTube.com for a stunning visual look at all the fun we have here, plus exclusive content, short films, and more. Follow us on social media. Our Twitter handle, @TrickyKid2, type Tricky Kid Radio Podcast on Facebook and DJ Tricky Kid on Instagram. Speaking of which, subscribe now to Roy Turner's alter ego DJ Tricky Kid's amazing Twitch channel at twitch.tv for retro gaming, exclusive DJ sets, as well as DJ instruction and live streaming of Tricky Kid Radio, where you, the audience, can participate and interact with our guests. Don't miss a single stream, so you can be up to date on the latest on all things Tricky Kid. Subscribe now at twitch.tv/DJTrickyKid.
Hey folks, this is Brian O'Halloran. You might know me from such iconic classic films as Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Vulgar. Anyway, you're listening to Tricky Kid Radio.
Hi, this is Marilyn Gigliotti. Most people know me as Veronica from Clerks. It ain't 37. Tricky Kid Radio with Roy Turner.
Hey everybody, this is actor and musician Scott Schiaffo, best known from the Kevin Smith films Clerks and Vulgar. You are listening to Tricky Kid Radio with Roy Turner.
Hey, if you just joined us, hey, we're talking Pixies and their current tour, Doggerel, that actually ended in Austin, Texas just a few weeks ago, that will resume again in New Jersey next month in August. So you and I get over to the Southside Ballroom. Again, our good friend Scott Begg, shout out to him, had hooked us up for the evening. And we get in there, and I got to tell you, this is a indoor venue, one of the only indoor venues of the whole tour, by the way, because it's the summer tour, you know. But this was a blessing. But at the same time, you and I have been to that venue quite a bit. Probably one of the most visited venues you and I have been to for concerts. And the place, I think the limit is like 5,500 or like 6,000 or something. And all the times you and I have been there, is that the most packed you've ever seen that place?
Yes. It was scary packed. I've never seen it that packed. I've never seen it like even half that packed.
Yeah,
it was all... There were too many people, and but they were very, very well behaved. That is actually the most well behaved audience I've ever seen in that place.
I have a theory of why they were so well behaved, though, and that's what I wanted to talk about for a second. So, number one, I wanted to say this: is it yes? And let's see, out of the shows we've seen there, we just saw our good friends in Ween there a few weeks ago. That was pretty full, but my God, I saw massive.
There were lots of people just like hitting the floor.
Oh yeah, if you go to a Ween show, it's good. People are gonna somewhat
like all of the aromatic smells.
Sure, and with the yeah, Ween gig, I mean some pusher man then sold somebody the ooh wee. But it was just crazy how, like I said, like how we I've seen Primus there, we saw 311 there, all of our friends that are in bands that of that size that play, and but I don't think I've ever it was like I said it was frighteningly packed in
it
there.
It was.
So I mean, and I'm just thinking like you know, there's got to be something there where the Pixies are hitting this area where a whole other generation is discovering them, because there's really yes they have a new record out, but the new record isn't like some big hit. All the only people that bought it were the diehards. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not like they have like a hit record on their hands. So what is your explanation for why there were so many people at this show?
It's part of a certain pocket of time and people have a deep connection to, and that's the anthem that they want to hear.
I'm talking about it, but in terms of like I feel like there were so many people there that were seeing them for the first time is my point.
Really?
Yeah, I mean like I'm saying like if they first of all they hadn't played, let's see here. I think this was the first Pixies show in Dallas in 5 years, because the last time that we saw them, I believe wasn't it with Weezer, wasn't it, at our beloved Starplex that we just talked about. So that's kind of a neat thing here. So we're gonna do this here. So let me look this up very quickly here. So yeah, so yeah, the last time that the Pixies played in Dallas was in June of 2018, right before Miles was born.
Yeah.
Oh, and were you at that? Were you that pregnant? Because you would have been like 8 or 9 months pregnant that show. Were you that pregnant that show?
Yeah.
Were you? Did you go to?
We were.
Yeah, I guess we had have been. Yeah.
But that was the first pregnancy, and you know that was it was much easier than the second one.
Yeah. Okay. I just remember you waddling, but you really didn't get that big. I mean, you're like 90 pounds of yoga perfection. I call you. 90 pounds of yoga Philippine perfection. That's how I describe you.
Oh, thank you, my love.
Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say was I really think that in those 5 years, people that were 13 have become 18. And or those that were 18 have become, something's happened in 5 years where they went from opening for Weezer to just, like, there's just this huge demand for them. How do you explain that?
Well, it just must be that, like, whoever, like, the audience that they hit back in the day have now become, like, 30s and 40s people, you know?
Well, I think let's say, like, for example, let's say, like what you're saying.
Because you don't have any money to play with when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, but let's say that someone who was 35 5 years ago had an 8-year-old. Who is now 40 and really feeling nostalgic, and that kid is now 13. Now he's like, I want to take you to see the pic. Do you see what I'm saying? I think it's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about this now. Okay. Is that here is why I think they were so behaved, because the crowd, first of all, I have to say one brief thing. I thought it was so freaking scary packed that just trying to get a beer there was not only incredibly challenging, but also frustrating. Where the lines were snaked around in a way where you just there was no order. There couldn't be. Nobody was trying to be out of order. There was just nowhere to go. But the guy was trying to get through the line so quickly that first of all, a beer in there, a 16-ounce beer is like $16, and then they want to do that thing where they flip it around. And they want to. You and ask you to tip them, and you know you can't really be spending $20 a beer. I mean, no one's gonna do that, right? And not to mention, he's pouring these 16-ounce cans into the cup so quickly that what he's handing you for $20 is literally a cup of foam that evaporates, and you get not only think, well, I'm getting more money. I'm getting 16 ounces. No, you're probably getting about 8. All right, and I refused, and I said, look, man, let me pour my own beer. And he was like, okay, show me, tough guy or smarty pants, and I was admittedly taking my time. He was like, well, shit, man, if I had time, hell yeah, I'd do it. I'm trying to get to the line. I was like, well, okay, so I get it that you're in a hurry, but the point is to serve people what they've paid for, not just to get them out of here and and serve them something that is they can't drink. You know what I mean? Like what's like, so, and I didn't take that too much. Like, so that was a bit of a gripe. Anyway, back to the show. By the time the show started, it was like a feverish. It was a fever pitch, man. It was. They started with "Gouge Away," which is such a great opener. It's a very recognizable track from Doolittle. And in fact, they did like this 1-2-3 punch from Doolittle of "Gouge Away," "Wave of Mutilation," and of course, probably their besides "Where Is My Mind," probably their biggest commercial hit. Being "Monkey Gone to Heaven." Then they did my favorite, probably my second favorite song out of their entire catalog, which is considered kind of a bit of a deep cut. It's off their last album before the reunion, from 1992's Trump Le Mans, which is called "Planet of Sound." And man, the crowd was just so white hot for that.
It was fun.
Right. But
I don't remember the details very well. I'm kind of like a let it wash over me kind of spectrum.
Sure. But here's why I have the theory of why they were so well behaved. Because they gave the crowd four songs, at least three songs that everybody knows, and then, you know, four good songs. And then one thing I should probably explain to you that you so you could get this as well is that, of course, They famously broke up in 1992 through a very acrimonious, especially between the singer Black Francis and, of course, bassist Kim Deal. And they were kaput. And then Black Francis was the first to return as under the new name under Frank Black. And he had a minor hit with that first record with a song called Los Angeles. And he didn't even consider Kim Deal to be really a musician, because she really wasn't. She was really just kind of like this personality that became a musician in her tenure in the Pixies. Uh-huh. Like, she showed up for the audition for bass and didn't even have a bass to play.
Yeah.
Like, he taught her how to play. He was the main songwriter. But he seems like he might be a very difficult character to get along with, right? Okay. And there's something between her, Kim. I don't know if you've ever seen an interview with her or talk. She's amazing, and you can't help but love her. But there's something Asperger-y about her, like intensely Asperger-y about her, okay? Or I'm not a doctor, but there's just something where anybody, if you were to do it, you would get it immediately, all right? So can you imagine that he gets this like minor hit? Well, she forms her own band with her sister, twin sister, Kelly, called The Breeders. And they have a massive, massive platinum-selling album hit that year with the album Last Splash and, of course, the song Cannonball. You know, Miles loves the song Cannonball.
Yeah.
And I should mention that the Breeders are actually going out on tour doing a 30th anniversary, I guess it was 93 then, I guess, of doing the entire record of Last Splash. It's not coming anywhere near Texas. So we may have to take a road trip because I love her and I love them. And there was a time where when things went south where I was like, hey, there is no Pixies, despite the fact that it is Black Francis's band and he's the main songwriter. I took the opinion of no Kim, no deal. Right? So the unthinkable happened. It's like the Talking Heads. I mean, the Talking Heads are truly the one band of living members that will never, ever get back together.
Yeah.
The other band, it was the Pixies. So it was unthinkable in 2004, 12 years after the big breakup, that they were reforming with all four of them, and they were playing at Coachella, and I, of course, was there. I was going to Coachella every year that time, and I wouldn't have missed that gig for the world. And it did quite a few tours, and then I don't know what year it was, but it was a few years later where she, you know, the old problems crept up, and she left the band, and was replaced by a couple touring members, and now permanent member Paslin Chanton, who was in A Perfect Circle, and she's great. I don't think it was on purpose, but she kind of looks like Kim. She's got, like, you know, brunette hair. She play, you know, female. Like, I mean, they didn't replace her with a dude. You know, they replaced it with a female bass player who sounds like Kim and looks like Kim. I don't think it was on purpose, though. You want to say something?
No.
I felt like why not?
Why not? Well, I mean, it just makes sense to me. I mean, if that's the sound he was looking for in the first place, you know, like the feel he was looking for.
That dynamic, of course, right?
Yeah, he is like, I'm going to want that again.
But at the same time, though, however, they don't do any of the songs that Kim sang lead on. And I don't know if it's out of just respect for her or whatever, because one of my absolute favorite Pixie songs is "Into the White," and I did see them do "Into the White" with Paz on vocals, the time before they were in Dallas when they did an indoor tour at the Bomb Factory just a year prior in 2017, and it's funny to think that you and I hadn't met yet. It was just a few months before you and I met.
Yeah,
and I actually hired that. Somebody that I met through the whole arcade collaboration to shoot that show for me, actually. Okay, to get back on track, also fun little sidetrack, Paslin Chanton, there's a connection to him and Michael Parnon between her and Michael Parnon that produced the King's X record. I don't know what it is, but I think they dated or something at some point, but they know each other outside of business somehow. I don't remember what the story he had told me about that was, but anyway, to get back on track, is the old problems resurfaced, and she left again. Kim left the band permanently, replaced by Paslin Chanton. But it took them, after 2004, it took them still something like 12 years to put out any new music.
Yeah.
And so I guess it was 2006, I think. And since then, they've put out almost as many records as from what you call Pixies round one. I call this round two. There was Indie Cindy, there was Head Carrier, Doggerel is the newest record. I feel like there might even be another one. They've put out like four albums.
Yeah.
And so this is why, to bring it full circle, why I think they were being such a well-behaved audience. Because after those four songs, everybody knows, came 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs in a row.
Yeah.
Not one, not two, but 8 that most people, including me, were not familiar with.
Yeah. They were still good.
That doesn't mean they weren't, you know, doesn't mean they weren't good. You're right. But I think that was where it almost seemed like, hey, we're going to give you these 3 songs. If you'll be good during these 8 and check this stuff out, we're going to give you a little bit more. We'll give you these blocks of songs that you know in spurts.
Yeah.
Because following that was, my goodness, was just like 1, 2, 3 was like 5 excuse me, 5 songs in a row that are at the top of like my Mount Rushmore: Cactus, Caribou, of course Bone Machine, Hay, and Mr. Greaves. Then they did, of course, their cover of Jesus Mary Chain's Head On, Isla de Encanta from the first record, the Something Against You from Surfer Rosa, Anna from Bossa Nova. It was just like suddenly a hits fest. Before they kind of dipped in and out of some of the older stuff, they did the title track off their new record, Doggerel, went back and did Debaser. Then, you know, it was like kind of ping-ponging. Death Horizon's a new song. Here Comes Your Man, of course, being a classic. And then they did both versions of Wave of Mutilation. They did, of course, the slower UK version.
Oh.
And then, of course, the big thing of... And after Where Is My Mind, I thought, this is probably it. Because mm-hmm. at that point, they had played like almost 30 songs. And I said, hey, you and I should head outside to smoke and get a head start on the traffic. And it proved to be prophetic, because after that song, what happened?
They played like one more song, right? And then it was it.
Right. They did that. They did a Neil Young cover of Winterlong. They've done that before, and that was the gig. Well, what did you think of the gig as a whole?
Well, I think they sounded fabulous at that venue. The first time I saw them, it was outside at Starplex, so the sound had to travel outside, and that's always going to be problematic.
Right, and it was an abbreviated set as well.
Yeah, it was a shorter set, so it was nice because they had this long arc of time, and the sound was fabulous. And I've never really listened to the Pixies before. It just didn't hit my radar. But so I wish I had. I probably will still now check out their new albums. Because if that's all from the new album, that was good. I liked it.
Yeah, well, there was, let's see here. Out of the new record, Doggerel, yeah, it was, they played almost the entire new record. They did the title track. They did Dregs of Wine, Get Stimulated, Haunted House, The Lord Has Come Today, There's a Moon On, Thunder and Lightning, and Who's More Sorry Now. That's almost the entire new record. And we're going to play the title track from the new album, Doggerel, right now. And we'll be right back with part two as I ventured solo down to Austin, Texas the next night in a more of a professional capacity. With some great shots that I took that you can see on our website at tricky-kid.com. And so, once again, this is Doggerel from the Pixies, and we'll be right back.
Three pretty boys did Gabriel get, the youngest George by name, sir. A funny dog, not favored much. Nor by fame, sir. Down in the cold rain, down the valley, bottom of the hill,
Hi, this is Natalie Cox. I play Juno Eclipse in The Force Unleashed, and you're listening to Tricky Kid Radio with Roy Tanner.
Again, that was the title track, Doggerel, from the newest album from the Pixies. And like I mentioned, so after that, I had headed down to Austin, Texas, to in more of a professional capacity, and I wanted to explain why that is. There we go. I like it a little louder here. Hang on. Check one, too. I like it a little louder. Hang on. I might even try this. Check one, too. That's so much better. I like it so much better. Okay. Check one, too. Okay. So, first of all, wanted to give a shout-out to my girl Heidi Elizabeth Robinson Fitzgerald, who I've known for 2 decades now. And again, like I mentioned in part one, this was the first time the Pixies had returned to Dallas in 5 years. But it's not the first time I've seen them in 5 years. One is I was able, when I was in Los Angeles, I want to say in 2020, I got to go to both nights at the Troubadour and a private show the day before. 3 dreamlike nights at the Pixies, and those shows were incredible. They did like 35 songs each night and stuff. The private show, I think they only did like 4 or 5 songs. It was like a little more of an appearance. But anyway, and then, of course, we covered the Pixies in New York City last year. And Heidi, of course, is not only just a business associate. She's a great friend. And she went out of her way and did something very personal to ensure my entry into that gig last year at Terminal 5 there in New York City. So, Heidi, thank you so much. And also, shout out to our friend Serena Furlong that works with Heidi there at HEFR PR, always taking care of us and making sure that we're taken care of. And we like to take care of their artists as well. Publicists need coverage, and journalists need content. So it's a great, beautiful, wonderful working relationship. I'm gonna go even louder. I like it a little. I love it loud. Okay, you would think it'd be louder, but I guess not. Okay. So anyway, so I tell you that because because I was gonna shoot it in Dallas, but again, we had this whole Morris Day situation where I was like, well, I was going to do that instead. I don't know if I'm going to make it happen, be able to go to both. I was already going to Austin to shoot some stuff for my King's X documentary, which we're getting very, very close on. I know I've been saying that for 5 years, but this time you can get excited now. We're getting there. It's really coming together. And also, I was going to be covering the Greater Eastern Austin Comic-Con, which you guys might have heard me talk about with Sukesha Ray, a fellow artist. She wasn't there, but we talked about it whenever she was on our After Dark program last week. So anyway, so I had a big weekend planned, so I drove down to Austin, hit up the Eastern Austin Comic-Con, which was a lot of fun, and hey, we're having like a big Revenge of the Nerds reunion. Make sure that's rolling. And that was a lot of fun. And then I wanted to tell you this. This is pretty funny. So anyway, so I get down there and to the hotel that, and I'm staying at the Hyatt House. This was the recommended, of course, hotel. And I don't know, in my mind, I guess because I saw the pictures the night before, or maybe it was just wishful thinking, but I was not expecting the show, I don't want a reason, to be outside. And in Austin, Texas, in July, actually, I think it was late June. But anyway, still, 1,000,000 degrees outside. And I did this thing. First of all, the Hyatt House in downtown Austin was just killer, man. I loved it. Great parking, great staff. Shout out to Dale that works there, with being so good to me. And the room was incredible. And I'm thinking, okay, first of all, parking downtown Austin is a fucking nightmare. And I'm thinking that this is going to be the Moody Theater at Austin City Limits that I'd been to many, many times before. And it was just under a mile, maybe like 0.7, I think the GPS said, from my hotel. Well, I wasn't going to hop in the car and go down there and try to park. You know, I just got to town. Of course, I've been down there a million times. I just haven't been down there in a while. And I thought, you know, despite the heat, it'll give me a chance just to kind of, you know, walk around downtown before the show. But I'm carrying my camera back because now I'm now working. I'm shooting this gig. And even Dale, the guy, I said, hey, man, I said, I think I'm just going to walk over there. He's like, oh, yeah, man. He goes, because he knew I was going to the Pixies. He goes, yeah, man, just take a left and a right. And, you know, it's no problem. You'll be there. So I was like, all right, cool. I head out. But my GPS is saying go left, not right, like Dale had suggested, which I should have listened to because, of course, he, you know, obviously is a local. And I walked all the way, and I almost immediately regretted it. I was wearing jeans, kind of a half-sleeve T-shirt, this 12-pound camera bag, and it was a zillion degrees outside. By the time I got there, I was soaking wet. And I get there only for them to tell me that, no, this is Moody Theater, right, but the Pixies are playing at Moody Amphitheater. That's a little cruel for you guys to have two venues that the only thing that separates them is like four letters. That's something cruel about that. And there was also a check-in time, meaning I had to be there by 8:30 or I wasn't going to get to shoot, and this whole thing would have been a wash. It would have been a bust. So I had no choice but to call a Lyft, and the guy was having trouble finding me until I finally jumped in. I said, bro, haul ass. You get me there by 8:30, and I will, compensate you handsomely. And that's the whole point of this show. Like, you could read how the show went in a two-paragraph review in the paper. I'm putting you there. I'm giving you the experience. So anyway, he pulled it off, man. I jump out at 8:29, thank him, and yes, I did. Once I got back to the hotel later, tipped him handsomely. But here's the punchline, is that this is why I was at the Hyatt House Hotel, because it was across the street from the venue. Now, in my defense, you can't see the venue from my hotel. It's actually inside Waterloo Park, and it's obscured by Waterloo Park, and it's new, and I didn't even know it was down there. I think it's only been there since the pandemic. I haven't been down there in a few years. And so I literally could have walked there in like the walk back home after the show, back to the hotel, was 3 minutes. It was literally two blocks. So womp womp. But he got me there, and I got in. I checked in with, I think her name was Alyssa Howard. She was very cool. But this is an outdoor show, and got to shoot four songs. You know, it's the 3-0 flash thing, but it was just so cool. I mentioned earlier. I don't know why I had this guy that was kind of a hanger on. I had him shoot the show for this show. Back at the Bomb Factory show in 2017. In hindsight, I have no idea why I made that decision. And I guess maybe he had a much nicer camera than I did at the time. Or I don't know. I can't even explain it. Anyway, so I shoot the four songs. Now, as you heard me, you mentioned earlier, I was hoping that, like, okay, maybe they'll do this thing where, like, the first four or five songs will be. And not to knock on the new songs, but, you know, I'm working. I don't want to hear the songs that I want to sing along to later because I can't sing along. I'm working. And that didn't exactly pan out for me in that capacity because they did start with Gouge Away, but then they went into Bone Machine, Debaser, and Caribou. Caribou is like my favorite song. So I was like, oh, man. And then, you know, then they have to do that thing where then they escort you out and up. And then you get to, you know, have the rest of the show to enjoy. And during all that, they played Hey, Mr. Greaves. By the time I actually got to my seat and had secured a beverage, they were on song 7, and it was, you know, it was the title track from the news for the new album, which I actually do enjoy. And they did Monkey Gone to Heaven, but and then they were kind of bouncing between old and new. Then it was, you know, Human Crime, then Wave of Mutilation, the Jesus Mary Chain cover, Isla de Encanta, and Planet of Sound once again. And then there was a block of songs that I was completely unfamiliar with. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 in a row. And I'd had, you know, I just saw them the night before. I had driven 3 hours to Austin. I'd covered a Comic-Con earlier that day. I had walked a mile in 110-degree temperature. I had just shot the show. I'm outside soaking wet. I was beat. I was spent. And speaking of spent, I went, the beer choices at Moody Amphitheater suck. Get it together. I just mentioned about the $16, $17 beers. Same thing there. And the highest eight. And I'm thinking, man, this is Austin, Texas. There's going to be some local craft shit like Jester King and all that good shit. It wasn't. I forget what I got. It was called like Fat Bat or something. And I think the highest ABV was like 4.5 or some shit. Like, don't waste my... come on, man. That part sucked. And I admittedly did something that I probably... I wouldn't say shouldn't have. I wasn't rude. Yes, I was. Okay, how's this? Let me say this. The show ends. The show's great. And again, I'm a little cranky now. I'm a little tired. And I had a feeling, after just like the night before, when they did Where Is My Mind, that it might, you know, the next song was probably going to be the Neil Young cover and Goodbye. And so I left my seat. This is an outdoor amphitheater. Even a bigger crowd in Austin than in Dallas. Just, I think there was something like 6,300 people. It was sold out. It was huge. And I did this thing where I'm kind of like, it's an outdoor thing, but I'm in that wide aisle. Do you know what I mean when I say wide aisle? I'm not in the aisle walking towards the stage. I'm in the aisle walking towards the exit. You understand? The wide one. And at the very end of the corner, I've got my credentials on. And this guy that you just know is like a fucking rickshaw driver enjoying just some temporary authority walks up to me and goes, and this is clearly the end of the gig. I mean, people are already leaving in droves. He says to me, he goes, sir, I'm going to need for you to return to your seat. Now, normally I could have just shown him my credentials and not even look at him. And he would have fucked off. But I guess I was just feeling it. And I just turned my head very sharply and I looked at him and I said, get the fuck away from me. And like, I was even surprised that I said it. Like, and I wasn't trying to be unprofessional. And I hope that, again, I'm giving a shout out to all these powers that be that gave me this opportunity, and I don't want to make them regret it. And also I'm admitting being at fault here. I'm just trying to tell you the experience. And he fucked off, thankfully. Not exactly how I wanted the evening to end, but then again, they did do Winter Long, and it was a great, great show. And the tour is going to resume. Let's see here. I know it's going to be, I want to give you the exact date. I know it's in New Jersey next month in a few weeks. So kind of had that kind of like end of tour kind of blowout. Yeah, they got a little ways to go here. It's some Stone Pony Summer Stage in, of course, Asbury Park, New Jersey, on August the 20th. Tickets are available now. And, you know, actually, I might be up there, because I definitely will see them again before the end of the year, is some of the filming I was supposed to do the very, very next day with from a King's X documentary actually fell through. Because the subject in question was ill. And so I was kind of like, oh, man. But it was salvaged by the fact that I was able to have lunch with my friend Matt B. Shout out to Matt B., who I had not seen in 8 years. And we just went to a Mexican restaurant and literally sat there and talked for 3 hours and drank Mexican beer. It was so much fun. We could have done it all night. And if it wasn't a Monday afternoon, I probably would have just stayed the rest of the night. But I had to, of course, get home and prepare for the next day. Like I mentioned, of course, Sukesha Ray was being on our program the very, very next day. So anyway, that was the gig, man. Those were the gigs. I'm going to play you out with, let's see here. Yeah, Beneath the Eerie. That's what I was trying to think of. There was Indie Cindy, Head Carrier, Beneath the Eerie, and Doggerel. It was actually released last year, last September. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play, well, you know, I think I did that last year. I'm going to play Vault of Heaven. They did not play this song at the show, so I'm going to play that one and play you out. But again, shout out again to Heidi and Serena and Scott Beggs, Ryan Peterson, Carrie Abernathy, my gorgeous wife Jocelyn, and all of you. For listening and enjoying this. Hope you guys are having a great summer. And again, of course, I love the Pixies, and it was such a great treat to be able to spend a couple of days with them. So, and I'm great to spend the evening with you. Of course, I'm your host as always, DJ Tricky Kid, and this is Vault of Heaven from the Pixies off their latest album, Doggerel, and we will see you next week.
This has been a presentation of Tricky Kid Media Originals, distributed by iHeartRadio. Created and directed by Roy Turner. Edited and mastered by Marcus Miller. Theme music by The Buckpets. Original score by Jocelyn Hunt. Artwork by Antora Sandy. Marketing and PR by Francesca Miles. Tricky Kid Radio is hosted by Roy Turner with introductions by me, Dana French. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week.
While trying to titrate, I ended up in another case. I went to 7-Eleven to try and get me straight. I ended up there in outer space. But that's okay.